Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More Podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love, life, marriage,
and a whole lot more.
And a whole lot more. Thank you for tuning in today. We are so excited today. We want to make sure that you know all the different places that you can tune into the show. We want you to download the Bashani app. Go to your app store, download that Bashani app, or you can always listen to the show by tuning in to iTunes, Apple, Google Play, iHeart, Spotify. Those are some of the other places that you can listen to the show.
Just listen, listen, listen.
Listen, listen, listen. And as always, we want to give our disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists or clinicians. Basically, we are sharing information from our journey, our story. But there will be times that we will have people on the show who may have, you know, certain types of licensures or practicing in certain areas, subject matter experts. And so we're looking forward to, at the beginning of 2022, bringing some of those folks on.
Yes, we are. Yes. Good friends. Friends and family.
Yep. Friends and family that are, you know, working in those different types of career fields where they can bring career fields, where they can bring some of their expertise to tag along to our life experience.
Yes. More like a confirmation thing to make sure you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want you to hear it from the best, even though we are the best.
Right, right, right.
We just want to add a little bit more flavor to the show and bring a little bit more depth to some of the subject matter that we're talking about. So far we have talked about our love story.
Yes, we have.
And we got a lot of good feedback. I received a few phone calls from people, and some people hit us up with some messages that they really enjoyed our love story, and that was very inspiring.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People like to be motivated.
Yep. And then last week we talked about that first year of marriage.
Yes, the very first year. Yeah. The trying year.
Yeah, yeah. Which statistics say that's the hardest year, and if you can make it through that year, then you'll probably succeed. And so we talked about that, talked about our first year. And this week, we want to talk about adding children to the marriage and what it's like to have a child and bring a child into the marriage. And what are some of the pros? What are some of the cons? How that can make it challenging, and how it can also make it very, very rewarding.
Yes, the little blessings from God that are sent to you.
Absolutely. The child, the Bible says the children are a heritage from the Lord. So we know that children are a blessing. But I think that let's just kind of lay a foundation. So I think when people are dating,
yes,
that having children is something very important that needs to be talked about.
Yes, because when you're dating, you don't foresee children. You just see you and that individual as being that bond, that knit. But then after marriage, children are coming.
Well, they can come, because I've actually talked to people who say they don't want to have children, that they don't want to have children. And so I think it's a conversation that people need to have while they're dating, because,
yes,
you know, it would be very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? Disappointing for someone to invest like 2 years. Some people invest even more than that into a relationship that they are looking forward to marriage in, and then they get married and find out that their partner does not want children, never wanted children. So that's why I said it should be, there's certain things, and that's why I think counseling, premarital counseling, is so important. But it's important even early on in the relationship, if you know, like, this is the one, like you and I said in our love story, like, I knew you were the one, and
yes,
you knew that.
Once you find out, basically sum it all up, you must be on the same sheet of music about everything. Even the smallest little things, even though I'm not saying children are a small thing, they're a large thing, but you need to definitely be on the same sheet of music about children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I would say, again, in dating, finding out, making sure that this person that you're dating, that you potentially see yourself spending the rest of your life with, you have to make sure that they want kids. And so that's one of the important conversations, the courageous conversations that you need to have while you're dating. Is you know, do you want children? How many children? I've seen it, situations, yes, where, like, the spouse wanted just one, the husband may have wanted one child, the wife may have wanted two or three kids, and vice versa, where the wife just wanted one child, and then the husband may have wanted, you know, two or three children. So these are courageous and important conversations that you need to have prior to getting married. So now you've got married. So we got married. Our situation was a little bit different. Because, you know, we had a child before we were married. And so we went into the marriage having a child. You and I, yes, you had a son from a previous marriage, but you and I. So you kind of had some experience already with, you know, being married and having a child. But for you and I, it was different territory. And so I think that in your situation, though, it really helped because a lot of the issues that I think couples face when they have that first child, like some of the statistics that I looked up, it says that studies have shown that couples who have had a first child are less satisfied with their marriages during the first postpartum year than they were in late pregnancy. The Cowan's research suggests that the transition to parenthood is a period of heightened distress for both mothers and fathers. And I can see that, you know, with two people that have never been married before, you know, getting married, having this child. I mean, having a child brings on a certain type of excitement and joy. You're going through the pregnancy. I can remember all of that. The visits, hearing the heartbeat for the first time, seeing an ultrasound, seeing the baby for the first time. And everything leading up to the actual birth of the child, would you say is like exciting and fun, baby showers and all that good stuff?
Yes, it's fun. The baby shower thing, that's more like a ladies thing.
Well, it's different today. You know, this new generation, they have gender reveals and the fathers are there, the gender reveals, the whole families, the crew, the boys, everybody's there, the gender reveal.
Yeah, the gender reveal's cool. I like stuff like
that.
Yeah,
so
the baby showers,
well, it's different.
I can go along with it, but baby showers.
That's just old school though.
Yeah.
You're old school. So like I said, you gotta remember this new generation. You know, they doing things different. The men are way more involved.
Yes, they're big time involved.
Yeah, they're way more involved than when, you know, back when we were, when I was having babies, it was not a common thing for the men to come to the baby shower. And we didn't even have a gender reveal. We didn't even know what that was back then. We didn't do that. But this new generation, you know, they're doing those types of things. And so I want to talk a little bit about the distress for both mothers and fathers and the different dynamics, because you may have a woman who experiences postpartum depression. And I think maybe we should bring on an expert to talk about postpartum depression. But a lot of women experience this, and that in and of itself is a challenge for a woman who's having to deal with that, let alone having a newborn baby. And so then you've got a husband who's got a wife now who's dealing with postpartum depression and a newborn baby. So now that kind of adds to his stress.
The dynamic of being married.
Of being married and the stress that this postpartum depression, this newborn baby is bringing. But I would like to say, I can remember that, you know, you were very active, very involved. You were there for feedings. You did feedings sometimes. We took turns. You know, you would say, no, I got it this time. You would make bottles. You were very, very active. What can you say to men to help them recognize? Because a lot of men believe that the traditional role of being the caregiver is just the woman, that she's the one who's supposed to make the bottles, wash the bottles, give the bottles, do the bathing, do the feeding. I mean, she's the primary caregiver of that baby. So can you talk to men today to kind of dispel that and to kind of give some guidance and advice based on the role that you played in caregiving?
Well, with me, it was like, I was like, how can I make this easier on my wife? And my mind clicked that, hey, we're both parents. It's not just her baby. It's our baby. So I said, I'm going to maximize my energy, men. Remember, energy. If you can apply your energy that you have into with everything, with changing the baby, feeding a baby, up at night with the baby, that will make life very easy on your wife. And it'll make her, I would like recovery of getting back to normalcy that much easier. Mm-hmm. My thing was, I just thought it was the right thing to do. Mm. That, hey, I'm going to be there. If she's up, I'm going to be up. If the baby's, as I say, they're not really being a challenge, they're just being babies. If the baby's being a baby, we need to be there for the baby, not her for the baby or me for the baby. We need to be there for a baby and giving a combined effort to comfort the little one.
Absolutely. And I have to say that Sterling was, I mean, he was amazing, especially, you know, women that have cesarean sections or who may have complications during the pregnancy. I know that coming out of the, I went into preterm labor. I had a successful labor, but coming out of labor, I was sick. I wasn't able to nurse. You know, I had some issues. And so it was the road to recovery for me was a little bit longer than the average person because I had those complications. And so, again, having that help, you know, having someone there to walk with you through it, it made it a lot easier. And it helped me to be able to get through the process of healing and getting my body back together. I also read something. It said for a lot of couples, kids make strong relationships even stronger. Having a baby can feel like lobbying a hand grenade into your marriage. The life you once knew is no more. Routines change. Regular sleep goes out of the window. So I guess I want to just encourage couples who may have a newborn baby or who are thinking about having a newborn baby that, you know, while it can be challenging, you know, having a baby is one of the most rewarding, fulfilling, exciting parts of being a marriage, becoming parents. And it should, in my opinion, it should be something that does make the relationship even stronger. What do you think?
It's a mindset thing. Because if you set your mind on that, hey, this is going to be a joyful occasion, it will be a joyful occasion. If you say, oh, if you're on the, like, the dreaded side, you're going to make it dreadful. Mm. Like I said, mindset. The mind, everything is mental to me. If you have a positive mental approach, it will probably be positive.
Yeah, I agree with that because the Bible says something about, like, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so whatever's in that heart or that mind, if that's what you speak and project, then that's probably what you're going to get and what you're going to have out of the relationship. But we know that children are a great joy. They bring so much joy and happiness. And I think, you know, sitting down and talking about, yes, there are going to be routine changes. You know, you're not just going to be able to just get up and go when you want to go. You know, as married couples, you know, you and I, we could just go whenever we wanted to go, do whatever we wanted to do. But when you have a child, that changes things. You have to think about, you know, this baby now, you know, we want to go on vacation. Well, how's that going to impact the baby? You know, are we going someplace that's even, you know, appropriate to take a child? So yeah, there's going to be changes to your routine, changes to your daily routines, to your nightly routines. Because, you know, a newborn babies may not be on your sleep schedule. You tend to be on their sleep schedule because you try to get sleep whenever they're asleep because, you know, they haven't figured out day and night yet. And so, you know, you're still trying to get them on this pattern and this schedule, and that takes time. What are some of the other things that change? So your routine changes, you can no longer go and come as you please. Finances change.
Yes.
Yeah, finances change, because that extra money that you may have or you may used to be having, now you have to divert that to diapers and milk, and babies grow so fast, clothes, the needs of that child. So if you're somebody who likes to shop till you drop.
It's over.
You shop until you can drop, but it's not for you anymore. It's for that child. So you have to think about finances. What else?
Just general life in general. Everything has to be the baby's first thought. Is on that baby.
Everything centered around the child.
I mean, but you might see, hey, I like doing that. Nah, the baby first. I got to make sure this baby's comfortable before I do anything concerning myself or your wife.
Absolutely. Even thinking ahead, like college and planning ahead for college. I mean, we don't think about all of those things. And again, I keep hounding about counselors. And, you know, I think financial counselors are so important, and getting people on board early, especially if you're thinking about having a child, so you can start planning financially to have the child. Making sure that you're secure in terms of health insurance. It is expensive to have a baby. It was expensive when I had the kids, but I was in the military, so I was blessed and fortunate that, you know, it wasn't any money coming out of my pocket. But just talking to people who have children, it's expensive to have a child. And then if you think about if you have a child that's premature, if you have emergency procedures, all of these things, hospital bills can add up.
Yes, they can. They will add up real fast.
And we know that most people are just one medical bill away from bankruptcy.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah, medical bills are typically like the number one thing that cause people to spend into bankruptcy. And so even planning to have a child financially, making sure you're stable financially so that that doesn't become an issue, that finances doesn't become, you know, the contention or the source of arguments moving, you know, into having a child. So let's just talk about those years, you know. So now the baby's kind of, you know, grown a little bit, and he's 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old. And so now you can kind of travel a little bit more. You can do a little bit more things with the child. You can expose the child to stuff like Disney World.
That's a good word.
Go ahead.
You can expose the child to normal life, normalcy, or you can expose the child to basically to being husband and wife life. And they can look at you and like, hey, that's mommy and daddy. Just expose them to your everyday life.
And it's important to have that good foundation so that we are exposing them to a positive environment, a positive atmosphere. But I think I was leading towards, you know, again, the finances, making sure that you're in the position where, you know, once they get older, you can afford to take them to begin to experience different things in life and begin to lay that foundation even for them to have those memories. As a child growing up, of all of the fun things that, you know, you did as a family.
Basically can let a child be a child with incorporating the entire family into that dynamic of raising that child and making him or her feel comfortable around you and you feeling comfortable around them. And they're a bundle of joy. You just want to have them, keep them as excited and keep them on the up and up as much as possible.
You know, I want to just go back and piggyback a little bit and talk a little bit more, because becoming a parent can put a strain on relationships, regardless of what they were like before. You can have the best relationship in the world, but having a child can often put a strain on that. You know, because you're so tired and you have less time to spend with your partner than you did before the baby arrived. And it's a lot harder to go out together and enjoy things that you used to do. And so I want to say to couples, you know, even though you have a child and the child comes, and yes, that child becomes your number one priority, you can't forget about each other.
Yes, you can.
You still have to find time and make time to get out together, to do things, enjoy things that you used to enjoy, so that you can keep your marriage alive and thriving and the fire going. And, you know, that may mean, you know, getting a babysitter, you know, leaning upon family members. You know, if you're close to your the parents, you know, allowing the parents to watch the child for you. Of course, being selective who you leave your child with and knowing that your child is in good hands. I can remember being a new mom and, you know, I was just very, very protective. And, you know, I didn't want to leave him when he was born, and I didn't want to leave him with, you know, just anybody. But you have to make sure that you're still getting that quality time, and that you are still doing things that you used to enjoy, so that you can keep that marriage going. What do you think about that?
You have to do that. You're married because of that. You had all that quality time. And now, once the baby's there, you have to figure out how to keep the fire going. You can't let the baby change everything. If that might sound strange, but you have to keep the energy between you and your wife there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like what you said, the energy going. You have to keep the energy going. And a part of that is communication. That we're back to communication. I think communication is key. Communication is what keeps the energy going. You know, the wife being able to say and convey, look, I'm tired. I need a break. I may need some me time before I can give you some we time. And men have to understand that a woman has had a baby. Her body has gone through, you know, physical changes. I remember my grandmother used to say that when a woman gives childbirth, she has one foot in the grave and one foot on land. And I remember when I was in labor, I mean, I was in labor for like 20 some hours. And I remember my mom coming in the room and I was just like, Grandma said, you had one foot in the grave and one foot on land. And I feel like my foot's in the grave right now because those contractions were hitting so hard. And my mom laughed at me. But labor is like you're in between life and death, literally. And, you know, we could talk about the high mortality rate, especially in the African-American community, women who during childbirth, you know, they don't make it during childbirth. And so talking to men, I want men for you to kind of understand and be sensitive and understand like what your wife has just gone through in giving birth. There's chemical changes, chemical imbalances and things that take place when a woman goes through childbirth. And so you have to consider all of that because you may only see the behavior or the mood swings or the isolation or the withdrawalness. And it's easy to take that as
rejection,
right?
Yes. It was very easy to take it as rejection, but I don't think I really took it as
rejection. No. I'm not speaking about you. I'm just, you know, I want to give our story. But I also want to talk to people who our story may not be their story. Yeah. And so
you just want to give a in general overview.
Right. Yeah.
Of what to expect.
Yeah. And so the flip side of that may be because in working with women and talking to women and having women as coworkers and girlfriends and colleagues who, you know, gave birth and listening to them, you know, this is, like I said, life experience. These are some of the things that I've heard women say, you know, that their husbands have had and made complaints about. And I want men to just understand and to sit back. And if you have to research, Google, like, you know, childbirth, you know, what all it entails, some of the postpartum depression, you know, Google it. Be more attentive and making sure that your spouse, that your wife, is not suffering from some of these things instead of maybe taking it personal that, oh, she doesn't love me anymore. Oh, she doesn't have time for me anymore. it's just all about the baby. You know, there may be other things going on and you need to communicate.
Communicate. And also, as a man, watch your wife. The signs will be there. Just watch your wife. Tune into her and the baby at the same time. Just don't look at the baby as one individual and the wife as an individual. Look at them in totality, because all her, as you would say, the postpartum things, mm-hmm. they'll show. You just got to look and watch, and they'll be right there. It's obvious, but most men just want to look over it because they're focusing on their need.
Yeah. They're focused on their need. Yeah, absolutely. And lots of times women can be in denial. So it's important for the husband to be attentive and to, you know, to immediately once he recognizes like something's different, something's off, to maybe have that conversation and say, you know, should we see your doctor? You know, are you okay? To kind of be that catalyst to help her get the help that she may need, because she may be in denial, just thinking, not even recognizing herself that something's wrong.
It's hard to convince someone that they need to go see a doctor, and when their mindset is, I'm perfectly fine, because all they are doing is seeing themselves as fine. But you, as an outside eyes looking in, you got to say, no, baby, you're not fine. Something is not right. Like she said earlier, communication is the key. If you have a open spectrum of communication where you can talk about anything and everything, that will make this whole process a heck of a lot easier. It will make a smooth transition if she is experiencing those postpartum things that, hey, I seen it, we need to do something about it.
And sometimes, you know, after a woman has a baby, after a couple has a baby, they lose their emotional connection. Or I won't say lose their emotional connection, because they're both so focused on the newborn baby that their emotional connection may lose some of its.
It drifts.
It may drift. Absolutely. And so, you know, in those instances, you know, I would say listening and being patient with your partner. Sharing in the responsibilities, letting others help. We talked about this, not being ashamed that you're struggling and talking to the right people and getting help. We already talked about having that date night, enjoying family time. And then just remember, it's just a season. It's just a season. Just like that first year of marriage is a season, that first year, that newborn baby, it's just a season, and you can get through it. You will get through it, and you'll make it, and you'll be 27 years later. They'll be grown and gone, living and thriving and having their own lives. So hang in there. Don't give up. You know, have faith, believe, because it is. Having a newborn is one of the most special times for you and your partner. There's nothing like bringing that new precious bundle home and settling into your new life together. And while, you know, all these wonderful things are happening, there's also challenges, you know, in developing that new routine and finding meaningful ways to stay emotionally connected with your partner. But it's worth it. We have three adult sons,
as I call them, grown man children.
Yeah, three grown men children. We're new grandparents, and so we're getting to experience that, and watching our son and his partner experience that. And I have to say, I'm so proud of them. I've had the chance to spend some time with them, and he's just like his dad. I love how he's attentive to his partner and also to the baby. He's there. He's feeding. He's changing diapers. And so it's just so heartwarming to see, you know, how he's stepping in and, you know, being the father, sharing in the responsibilities, how they're making sure they're staying connected emotionally, having that quality time together. And so it's just awesome to watch, you know, him be a father and to see him modeling the same type of care and love that you as a father gave to them when they were babies and small children. And so it's just awesome. It's amazing. And it can be amazing. You can get through the tough times and the hurdles and the challenges and still have a long lasting, successful marriage and be great parents all in the midst of that. What do you have to say as we are about to close out here.
I'll say she's right. All of that stuff and more, because me, I like children. I like to see them light up and just the smiles on their face and how they react to like things that we see normal as every day. With them, it's their first time, and they'll be like, oh, and it's just amazing. And I like to laugh at them and how they incorporate that into their life going forward.
Yeah, you do. You have a way with kids. Kids tend to be drawn to you, and kids really, really respond to you. They like playing with you. They like you, you know, when you get silly with them. So, yeah, you're going to be a great grandfather. You are a great father. You're going to be a great grandfather. And I'm looking forward to seeing you and our grandbaby and how she's going to interact with you. That's going to be really, really exciting. Before we head out, I want to pray for marriages, Sterling. Let's pray for marriages and marriages and couples who are have newborn babies or in that first year of being parents. Father, we thank you for marriage. You said that it's an honorable thing. You said he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from you. You said that children are a heritage, God, from you. And so we just want to pray for couples today who are new parents, who have newborn babies, who are in that first year of being parents, God, that you would just continue to give them the strength, God, to endure this first year of this newborn child, Lord, that they would see the joy, God, the great joy in this baby and all that this child has added and is going to add to their lives, and that their families and friends would come alongside them and support them and give them all of the help that they need to get through this first year with this newborn baby, and that it will be a blessing and a joy and such a sweet, sweet time in their lives. We pray for them now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And we thank you for listening. And we want to just head out, go out with our marriage mantra. And our marriage mantra is?
The more you put in.
The more you put in your marriage.
The more you'll get out of your marriage.
The more you get out of your marriage. Stay tuned at the end for some information about us. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.